听力课堂，听 class.com。
全国翻译专业资格水平考试指定教材，英语口译综合能力三级，第二盒
，Unit 5 Section A。U.S. financial analysts say confidence in global financial markets remain low, even as some believe a recovery in the U.S. economy is underway. After a year of corporate scandals and plummeting U.S. stock markets, there is some cause for optimism about an end to the U.S. recession, according to experts speaking at a Global Outlook conference. Dartmouth College finance professor Kent Womack says that even though U.S. employment rates are still high,and there is a lingering fear among analysts that the strong real estate market may collapse, the U.S. economy will regain solid ground by 2004. Earnings are no longer going down in a significant way. I think some of the factors that we discussed today about deflation, the housing bubble, give us room to be worried. They might string this thing out longer than a year. Mr. Womack cites encouraging predictions by corporate executives as further cause for optimism.The panelists' outlook for the global market in 2003 isn't as optimistic. Investment strategist Diane Garnick says accounting scandals in the United States have discouraged investors, especially from overseas. Lots of folks have always believed that U.S. accounting standards are far superior to international accounting standards, she said. Now that we've seen this explosion in U.S. accounting standards over credibility,Many non-U.S. investors are far more concerned than U.S. investors. Because their belief is that if the model that we were striving to get to doesn't work, then we must be in a lot of trouble. Ms. Garnick adds the fear of volatility in the oil market and the uncertainty associated with Latin America and other emerging economies will also inhibit growth in stock markets across the globe, at least for the near future.The Global Outlook Conference was hosted by Dow Jones, publishers of the Wall Street Journal, and creators of the New York Stock Exchange's central index, the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Section B. 1. Susan asked me repeatedly how I earned my living.
2. Arthur has three brothers living abroad.He gets incredible phone bills every month.
3. Finding employment is not easy these days. If I were you, I would accept such a job offer.
4. You can't rely on the airport bus. I can give you a ride if you can wait while I put these things away.
5. Louise was supposed to arrive by 10 to join us, but it's already 11:30.
6. Since no one knew that Virginia had a boyfriend, the news of her marriage caused no little surprise.
7. Linda was told that unless she came to work regularly, she would lose her job.
8. Jack always waits until the last minute to hand in his paper.
9. I've been living off campus this year, and it's so much nicer than living in the dorm.
10. It looks that I have to pay a fine for this book. The library book must be returned within 1 week.Section C. A. The National Association for Business Economics says the U.S. downturn is over. About 200 of the group's economists are meeting in Washington to discuss global economic growth. Association President Harvey Rosenblum says he believes the economy has been growing since December. Mr. Rosenblum said the turnaround came when consumers concluded that the country had withstood the shock of the September terrorist attacks.That their jobs were probably safe, and that it was all right to resume normal activity. A recession is defined as two consecutive quarters of economic decline. America's first recession in a decade is said to have begun in March 2001. Mr. Rosenblum said the recovery is stronger than many experts anticipated. We keep raising our estimates of how good the economy is going to be this year, he continued. Suffice it to say that it will be a decent year. Not statistically the very strong bounce back from recession that we usually see, because this was a very short and mild recession. The consumer sector, which was very, very strong during the recession, there is not very much room for a bounce back. People bought an awful lot of cars last year. They bought a lot of homes and furniture last year. So there is not that much room for a bounce back. But it will be a pretty good year, but not the kind of 7% bounce back you usually get. The business economists forecast about 4% growth for this year. They expect short-term interest rates to rise, and they believe unemployment will not go much higher above the current 5.7% rate.
B. The president says he will work with Congress to extend unemployment benefits for hundreds of thousands of unemployed Americans. Congress failed to agree on continuing unemployment benefits before they adjourned in November. So, President Bush says one of his first priorities in the new year is to extend payments to more than 750,000 Americans who are out of work. He said it is part of a plan to turn economic recovery into sustained growth. This economy is strong, and it can be stronger, said the president. I will work with Congress on a jobs and growth package to add momentum to the recovery and to put people back to work. The president says he will work with the new Republican majorities in both houses of Congress to ensure that all Americans have access to high-quality, affordable health care. He will also continue his push for a prescription drug plan for older Americans who are hurt by rising drug prices. In the Democratic response to the president's radio address, New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton agreed that Congress should start the new year off right by extending federal unemployment benefits. Senator Clinton says another 13-week extension of federal unemployment benefits is a smart economic policy, quoting a Labor Department study that says each dollar spent generates $2.15 in the economy.
C. I took over running the firm when it was in a very bad way. Basically, the faults were management ones. A clear marketing strategy hadn't been worked out. This meant our various markets were eaten away, particularly by foreign companies. Also, quality control hadn't been maintained. This had lost us sales, particularly to the Japanese. And the other major difficulty we were faced with was the fact that we had no new products coming on the market. So our profits were reduced, while at the same time, we weren't prepared for a developing economy. Several steps were taken to deal with these difficulties. In relation to marketing, a new strategy has been developed. Whereas before we aimed to sell our electrical products both in the lower and middle range of the market, now our marketing is aimed solely at the middle range. We are not able to compete with cheap foreign imports, so our production and marketing has been concentrated on higher priced, higher profit margin goods. Of course, to compete in this market, good quality is essential. Therefore, improving quality has been stressed very strongly. We have done several things to improve quality. Firstly, quality control circles were introduced. Meetings of these groups were held at which suggestions were put forward about how to improve quality. As a result of one suggestion, incentive schemes have been introduced whereby staff receive bonuses if certain quality targets are reached. Also, a vastly increased training program has been developed in areas where quality was poor. I've been in charge of the company for 2 years now. I'd like to talk about the company's present situation. We've begun to turn the corner. After several years of heavy losses, we hope to break even this year. To do this, we've had to reduce the workforce considerably, but now we can offer greater job security to our remaining staff. We're hoping to pay a dividend next year if the present improvement continues. We're hopeful that the future prospects of the company are good. A lot remains to be done, of course, but we think that new products we are developing will greatly improve our prospects.
For example, a great deal of interest has already been shown in our satellite TV dish, which has just been placed on the market. I think those investors who continue to support us will be rewarded by a substantial rise in the company's share price in the near future.
D. Our company certainly seems to be breaking new ground. I hope it works. Anyway, on the face of it, this proposal seems to be in order, at least in general terms. Now, I'd like to refer to our financial requirements as well. The total we need is £1.3 million. That's in all. But the company can raise £600,000 of its own accord. So the borrowing requirement as such is £700,000. What I mean is, the company can raise £600,000 of its own accord. That's all from reserves for the time being. Though if we get past first base, we'll be looking at a substantial share issue. We would like the bank to handle things on our behalf in that connection if it comes to it. With regard to the borrowing, I'd like to mention what proportion we see in the nature of a loan and how much is overdraft. We're speaking in terms of a 550,000 loan and 100,000 and 50,000 in the shape of an overdraft. According to our finance department, that's the best way. As to our parent company in Germany, I'm referring to Crafts Europe Handels. Well, we operate independently, and they've got nothing to do with the financing of this operation, although they did set us up to start with. By the way, they took a first mortgage on our premises to secure their investment. And also, as you know, I am an executive vice president of Crafts Europe Handels, but we'd be working hand in hand with them on the marketing side over there. Right, are you asking what term we have in mind? Well, looking at the borrowing in aggregate, we see it in the nature of medium-term finance, but that's averaging it out. In practical terms, the overdraft would be shorter term, just to tide us over in case we don't meet our budget, 2 years at the outside. The loan element is another matter. We'd like 4 to 5 years.
Section D. 7,000 economists from around the world examined the impact of globalization and information technology during a weekend gathering in Washington. Economists from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Columbia, and Harvard universities say there is a direct relationship between technological advance and gains in productivity. Martin Feldstein is considered a likely successor to Alan Greenspan at the U.S. Central Bank. He says the United States has done better than Europe in productivity and job creation in the past decade because of greater receptivity to innovation and a more flexible labor market. Innovation is often frightening to people who have to learn new systems, particularly older workers for whom new computer technology may never be user-friendly enough. Innovation can also be personally unpleasant for managers if it involves firing workers and forcing individuals to take early retirement, he explained. This business process innovation nevertheless occurred in U.S. firms because the general environment supported and encouraged change, while the individuals who made the decisions to drive change had strong incentives, Mr. Feldstein said. In the late 1990s, the United States registered 5 consecutive years of 40% growth in investment in computer technology. Panelists said that investment accounted for almost all of the U.S. productivity gains in recent years. Mr. Feldstein said, unlike earlier periods of technological advance, recent changes are affecting middle managers more than blue-collar workers. The productivity gains made possible by the new information technology has been concentrated in white-collar jobs. While earlier generations of technological change permitted automation and robots on the production process, the IT revolution has brought productivity gains to management, to sales, purchasing, design, accounting, and other non-production activities. And that, in fact, is where most of the new jobs are now, even in manufacturing industry, he said. But the situation is quite different in developing countries where labor is more plentiful and cheaper. Joseph Stiglitz of Columbia University says productivity gains in developing countries are linked to education and a capacity to accept new technology. There have been marked changes in technology leading to changes in the pace of productivity. And even if the new economy, characterized by IT and the Internet, has been hyped and has not meant the end of the business cycle, as some people thought a couple of years ago, it is quite clear that there have been changes in technology and changes in productivity. The point is that different countries are in different positions to take advantage of these changes, Mr. Stiglitz said. Mr. Stiglitz says that while Africa and Latin America lag behind in accommodating new technology, China and South Korea are clear winners. The panelists concluded that the years 1995 to 2000 represented a unique period of particularly rapid technological advance. This, they said, probably was a once-only occurrence facilitated by the arrival of the Internet, the global communication system made possible by the marriage of computer and telecommunications technology.
Unit 6. Section A. The International Committee of the Red Cross says it will need nearly $650 million to help victims of armed conflict and violence next year. The Geneva-based ICRC runs humanitarian operations in some 80 countries. The International Committee of the Red Cross has operations in just about every trouble spot in the world, including Afghanistan, the Palestinian territories, the Caucasus region in Russia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Sudan. However, it says it will have to expand its operations even more next year because of the deteriorating situations in Liberia, Colombia, and Ivory Coast. The director of ICRC operations, Pierre Cranbull, says his agency has been running regional operations for West Africa out of Ivory Coast for years, and therefore is in a good position to expand its programs there. Mr. Cranbull says the Red Cross has been carrying out assistance and medical projects, as well as visiting prisoners held by the government and the rebels. The Red Cross says Afghanistan remains its largest and costliest operation. However, it adds that it has cut more than $40 million off last year's budget due to the improved situation in that country. Cuts have also been made in programs for Sri Lanka, Sierra Leone, and Yugoslavia. The president of the International Committee, Jacob Kellenberger, said the Red Cross is asking for $15 million for Iraq next year. He says the agency already has released $11 million from its reserve funds to prepare for the humanitarian consequences of a possible war. These preparations include, in particular, the opening of additional logistic points in the west of Iran and Kuwait, and the pre-positioning of stocks inside and outside Iraq, he said, and to be in a position to meet the most urgent needs following an intervention during the first months. Mr. Kellenberger says the Red Cross is not making a judgment on what will happen, but he says the organization would not be forgiven if it had failed to prepare for a humanitarian crisis.
Section B. 1. The flight has been delayed until 4 o'clock. I'm just wondering how we are going to kill these 2 hours.
2. At first, many people didn't like that kind of music, but after a while it caught on.
3. Carol works as a nurse, but she would rather teach.
4. They are going to change the meeting from Wednesday to Friday, but it's all the same to me.
5. When she graduated from the London School of Economics, Elsie found a job as a secretary in an accountancy firm.
6. I need a textbook for my 8 o'clock class tomorrow morning, but the bookstore won't open until 9.
7. Your parents are coming to see your apartment tomorrow. Looks as if I'd better lend you my vacuum cleaner.
8. Mr. Baker returned the 2 books to the library one day before they were due.
9. My math assignment is due tomorrow morning, and I haven't even started it yet.
10. The company is very selective in recruiting people. Only girls between 20 and 25 are eligible.
6. A. The World Food Program says 6.5 million people in southern Africa will face starvation early next year unless donor funding for humanitarian relief is increased soon. And long-term projects aimed at self-sufficiency in local communities are also being threatened by a lack of funds. James Morris, United Nations Special Envoy for Humanitarian Needs in Southern Africa, says populations in Zimbabwe, Lesotho, and Mozambique are most at risk for starvation in the first 3 months of next year. Earlier this year, the World Food Programme launched an emergency program to assist 14.5 million people facing starvation in 6 Southern Africa countries. 3 of those countries, Zambia, Malawi, and Swaziland, subsequently had good harvests, but food production in the others, particularly Zimbabwe, was poor. In addition to the need for food, there is an alarming shortage of seeds and fertilizers for subsistence farming this season. Mr. Morris says the countries facing the most severe shortage of these agricultural inputs are Mozambique and Zimbabwe. Mr. Morris says an investment in seeds and fertilizers for the region by donor countries now will result in enormous benefits over the agricultural season. In most areas of the region, farmers must plant no later than October to benefit from the entire growing season.
B. A new study released by the Institute for International Economics in Washington asserts that world poverty is declining at its fastest pace in history. From 1980 to 2000, poor countries grew faster than rich countries, and that the number of people living in poverty actually fell. Global poverty is down mainly because the world's two most populous countries have been doing particularly well. The main reason for that is that China and India have had very rapid growth rates in the past 20 years. Even India has grown at least 5 to 6% annually, and that because of their size has pulled hundreds of millions of people out of destitution. Thus, because of the huge size of China and India, the overall picture is somewhat different. Poverty rates, for example, are not declining in either Africa or Latin America. In most countries, poverty is not declining. The continent on which nothing of this sort has happened is Africa. And in Latin America, there has been some improvement, but relatively modest. But when you look at it in global terms, in terms of how many billion people live under a certain line, there has been real progress, more so than there has ever been in the history of the world. Globalization is disproportionately benefiting the poorest people in developing countries. Poverty is down most in countries that are promoting small business and competition, have effective governments with sound budgetary policies, and which actively combat corruption. Private enterprise is the driving force behind economic growth.
C. The head of the Asian Development Bank on Thursday voiced support of giving cheap credit to China and India in a move that could raise the fire of tight-fisted U.S. lawmakers. The Asian Development Fund lends cash at virtually no cost to the area's poorer nations. At least as far as theory is concerned, there is no reason why we have to exclude the benefit of concessional funds from China and India, the ADB president said at the formal opening of an ADB office here. Such talk is likely to draw fire on Capitol Hill. The United States is already behind on its promised payments to the $4 billion plus Asian Development Fund to the tune of $430 million. European nations are holding back $470 million until the United States makes good on its pledge. The ADB president said the fund will run out of money late next year or early in 1999 if the arrears are not made up and no agreement is reached on a replenishment. I cannot be very optimistic about the total size of the replenishment, he said. China and India have never been eligible to borrow cheap credits from the Asian Development Fund, primarily because of political opposition from the United States.
if they were to become eligible, the president acknowledged that other poor countries in the region might become concerned that they would get less of the scarce resources. He warned the United States that it could lose out on business opportunities in Asia if it failed to bring its payments to the Development Fund up to date. He said European countries have signaled that they might try to restrict U.S. companies from bidding on some projects financed by the ADB if Washington does not make good on its promised payment.
D. The World Health Organization says it is embarking on a massive immunization program to eradicate polio by the end of 2005. The World Health Organization says 235 children in 7 countries have been paralyzed by polio this year. When WHO began its global polio eradication campaign in 1988, 350,000 children were paralyzed each year by this disease. WHO said India, Nigeria, Pakistan, and Egypt account for 99% of new cases. The rest are found in Afghanistan, Niger, and Somalia. As part of its eradication program, WHO said it plans to immunize this year 175 million children under age 5 in the 7 polio-affected countries. WHO communicable diseases expert David Heyman is heading the anti-polio drive. He says the aim is to build a wall of immunity to stop local transmission and to prevent the exportation of cases from these countries to polio-free areas. In the past 4 years, there have been actually 12 exportations of polio into areas which were polio-free, 5 of those alone having come from India. So it is very important not only that we interrupt transmission in these countries to protect the children in those countries, but also to protect the other countries in the world which are now polio-free. Dr. Heyman led WHO's program to stop the severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, virus from spreading around the world. He said polio transmission must be stopped in the remaining polio-endemic countries, or it will start spreading to other countries. We believe that we can accomplish this job, and we know that if we do not accomplish it within the next 2 years, it may not be accomplished. Over $3 billion has been put into polio eradication within the past years. That money is not infinite. WHO considers polio to be eradicated in any given area if it does not occur there for 3 years.
Section D. The United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, says malnutrition and measles remain critical threats to Angolan children. UNICEF estimates 1 of 4 Angolan children dies before reaching age 5. Chronic malnutrition levels are around 46%. Immunization coverage is very low throughout Angola, with only about 30% of children under 5 fully immunized against preventable diseases. In a telephone interview from Angola, UNICEF representative Mario Ferrari said after peace was declared in April, aid workers had access for the first time to children who previously had been unreachable. He says acute malnutrition among them was so high that as many as 5,000 children required special feeding to stay alive in May and June. Although the levels of acute malnutrition have gone down, Mr. Ferrari says, they could easily go up again. We have taken also some precautionary measures, he said. We have put in place a system of monitoring the situation, and we have already propositioned some therapeutic milk in the provinces, ready to be moved if there is a return to an acute situation. Measles is one of the biggest child killers in developing countries. It is particularly deadly among malnourished children. Mr. Ferrari says UNICEF is working closely with Angola's Ministry of Health to prepare the first ever national measles vaccination campaign. He says the operation will start in April and aims to reach 7 million children, ages 9 months to 15 years old. He says UNICEF will take advantage of the campaign to revive routine vaccination centers, which fell into disuse during the country's long civil war. We are retraining the personnel. We are organizing a system of supply of vaccines, supply of spare parts for refrigerators, Mr. Ferrari said. We try, while we respond to the needs, also to support the country to rebuild systems. And this is what gives hope. The fact of rebuilding systems, this is the only way of helping this country to restart. UNICEF Angola representative Mario Ferrari says it is critical to save children dying from preventable diseases. But he says it is also important to give them a sense of normality and stability. He says this can best be done by sending children back to school. Mr. Ferrari says UNICEF and the Angolan Ministry of Education have begun back-to-school pilot projects in two provinces worst affected by the war. He says they hope to expand these projects to Angola's other 16 provinces as soon as money becomes available.